When I grow up, I want to be an astronaut.
I want to be a better Bedarian.
I want to be a princess when I grow up.
When I grow up, I want to be the president of the United States.
I want brains.
No one ever says, I want to be a zombie when I grow up. If you want to survive the coming zombie apocalypse, listen to Undead Air. Be entertained by stories, music, and reviews while learning vital skills to save yourself and your loved ones. Get it at UndeadAir.com or subscribe on iTunes. Remember, knowledge is power.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 22 of the Zombie Girls podcast. Woo-hoo.
Slowly climbing those numbers.
Ah, no! I think Jody's our good luck charm. Like, we went from one a year to, like, every one a month. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
We needed her, you know, Explody Joe file, you know.
She's bringing the professional.
Exactly.
I've been listening to them and they're just bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, that's once a week. Honestly, it's been a long day of podcasting. I've already done two today and now I'm like, oh God, I've got to sit here for another 3 hours doing another podcast.
Well, there's three of us this time, so this may be a very succinct show.
Yeah.
I saw you say that on Twitter and I was just like, damn, that is a woman committed to the podcast. You're like the Ryan Seacrest of podcasts.
Yeah, well, we try and do two a week over at the Explody Files headquarters because, you know, Matt and Steve often don't show up, so sometimes we have to get a couple in the bank just in case we have to miss a week. So,
So, well, obviously, I've got two fabulous co-hosts with me tonight. Sitting next to me is Ariel, a.k.a. The Last Girl.
Yep, that's it.
You have to remember so many different nicknames.
Yeah, I know. I don't blame her.
And now we have new ones to add to it, although not tonight. And joining us from all the way from, I don't know, is it sunny? England?
No, never is.
Foggy
is
England.
Of course the fabulous Explody Joe.
Hello.
So how are you ladies doing today?
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys celebrating your independence from me tonight?
Yeah, that's right. our overlord has been beaten. Now we must barbecue meat.
Yes.
Set off cheap firecrackers.
Yes.
Although I think 4th of July in my neighborhood started like 3 or 4 days ago. My cats are really loving it too.
Spent 4th of July the last few years in Missouri with my family, and those people in Missouri, like Midwesterners, love 4th of July. All out, and for like 2 weeks leading up to it and probably a week afterwards, it's nonstop fireworks everywhere.
Wow.
So completely nonstop.
Okay, let me ask you something, because like I grew up in California. I'm a California girl.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't surf to school or anything like that, but I watch movies like E.T., Trick or Treat, like all of these like holiday type movies, mm-hmm. and they're always somewhere in the Midwest, and everybody gets so into the holidays. Like, I always felt kind of like robbed. Like, I want the E.T. Halloween where everybody's out. You know what I mean? Is that really what it's like?
I don't know. Like, okay. Halloween seems to be really big. 4th of July seems to be really big. Any of the like barbecuing holidays seem to be really big. But when I'm there for Christmas, I feel like, at least in Missouri and at least in the part of Missouri I'm in, people don't seem to be as like all out as they are in movies.
So it's not like Gremlins.
No.
Pretty sad that that's my reference to American, like Midwestern pop culture.
Although I will say that there are like, per capita, probably like more houses with really cheesy, you know, blow up snowmen in the front yard and stuff.
That's awesome. Okay. All right. So I only feel something. Partially gypped. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So I guess we should start off by talking a little bit about what we have been watching.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
who wants to start this off? Should we go alphabetical?
Sure.
All right. Ariel.
I'm always used to being at the end of alphabetical because in school, like, it was always your last name, you know? Okay, so what I've been watching. Well, I got to watch Priest with Rachel, which was...
Oh, God, I forgot about that already.
Like, the blocked it out.
Was it that good?
No, you know, it really freaking disappointed me because the movie looked really good.
Right.
And the premise of it I thought was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I thought the vampires were neat looking. Because, sure. I mean, I like the idea of the non-human vampires, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, does it look more animalistic and almost alien-like or something? But it was just really, really disappointing.
Right. Right. You know what it was? I mean, there was a few. I mean, there's a number of problems with that movie.
Yeah.
But I think part of it was, even though it looked really good, it felt really small. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
it felt really sort of, and it also, it was just very, like, empty. Like, there was absolutely no character development at all.
Yeah, nothing. You know nothing about the characters. And there's supposed to be this whole, like, almost, you know, like, loving, you know, this love relationship between the two, like, the female priest and him, but they, like, can't be together, but she kind of wants to be. And...
But I don't really feel like they even really tried to. They just sort of like.
They don't.
They just like threw it out there.
Yeah, exactly. They threw it out there at the end and acted as though you were supposed to be emotionally invested in the relationship between them. Mm-hmm. And you're not at all.
Right. The one good thing about it was I felt like there were a couple cool visual moments.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the part where the bad guy is kind of like almost like directing the vampire attack on the city.
Yeah, that was.
And he's like sort of in the middle of it. It looked very like Japanese anime. Mm-hmm. or comic bookish, which I liked. You know what I mean? It looked kind of, it almost looked more like a still brought to life.
Yeah,
so I liked that. But
I really liked the idea of the hive that they created for the vampires. Mm-hmm. To like grow in. I thought that was kind of cool, but they didn't really use it. They didn't have them trapped in the hive and not able to like find their way out or anything. They just sort of went in there and left.
Yeah,
and that was it. Yeah, so that was disappointing. I watched Catfish finally. And I actually ended up watching it twice because then a friend wanted to watch it with me. So that was sort of, I don't know if it made it not as good or something.
Well, I like your text after it. You're like, this is not the movie to send me home with if you want me to online date.
Oh, Rachel keeps trying to convince me. Like, online dating. I'm like, this is what I'm worried about. People pretend.
Ariel needs to get some booty, okay? She needs to order it online.
I will admit that, okay? I'm sorely lacking right now. Like, I think my virginity has almost grown back. Anyway.
So, listeners.
And then another horrible movie, My Soul to Take.
Oh, I can't believe you actually watched that.
I know, okay.
That.
I asked Rachel to send me home with it because I saw the trailer when we were, you know, watching it for the trailer for ages ago. And I thought the premise seemed interesting. I mean, I like serial killer stuff, but it was a huge letdown. And a lot of the movie just really didn't make sense. Like, the plot was so bizarre and kind of nonsensical.
Right.
And just really not scary and disappointing. Yeah. Mm. I really, really hated it.
Yeah, you're not alone. I don't think I've heard a good review of that movie.
Yeah, I went online trying to find out. Most people complained about it in the same way I did, but it was just, yeah, boo, hiss. Let's see what else. Oh, I watched the Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Oh, you did watch it.
Yeah,
I haven't watched it yet.
I did, because I know, like, you were saying you were a little hesitant to put yourself through the experience.
Right, right.
You know? It's actually, I didn't think it was quite as graphic and disturbing as I don't know, the previews and what you had told me sort of led me to believe.
Because, well, it's just never been released. Like, why?
Right,
why? You know, like, how bad could it be that it's never even been released when Serbian film's gonna get released?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought this film actually did a really good job of kind of pulling away and not showing everything. Like, it gives you, sometimes you see things in the shadows. Also because the tapes are so, like, distorted and kind of fucked up. A lot of times you don't see everything. And for me, that works really well because then my imagination just kind of takes over and does, you know, a lot of the work for me, making me scared. There are some amazing moments that they show, though, where, like, there's this one scene where the guy has these, like, these metal, really long fingernail claws that stick out, and he pushes them slowly into this woman's neck, and it's just really, yeah, creepy. And they do a good job of making it feel like one of those court TV kind of, you know, things that they do with
true
serial
crime
killers.
Documentaries.
Exactly. And I was in love with those when I was in, like, junior high. I used to watch those constantly about serial killers and stuff.
So you recommend?
Yeah, I would. I thought it was really interesting. I mean, I can see why some people might not like it because it's not super cinematic.
Right.
Like, it doesn't necessarily feel like an entire movie. It feels like one of those shows, but it's done really, really well. And it's interesting, right, the way they did it. So, I mean, I would recommend watching it. And I think there are only a few moments when you would have to look away. Okay. What's really probably more disturbing is just them talking about, like, what this guy has done. And
oh, yeah, I can do
things
that.
Like that. Yeah. Some of the acting is a little... But especially, like, there's this one young guy who had to actually watch every single one of the tapes, and he talks about it, and I feel like those moments were supposed to be genuinely creepy, because he's like, for instance, the serial killer left all of these tapes, but he, like, held back a couple, and the guy is saying, like, you know, he showed us all of this, what did he not want to show us?
Yeah.
And that should have been, like, a creepy moment, but I was totally taken out of it because he's such a crappy actor.
That sucks.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything else good? I watched a couple of really crappy movies on Netflix. I was just telling you about.
Are these the anti-Netflix streaming people?
<Yeah. laughs> I don't know if anyone's seen this, but I saw Final Stab. It looked like a really, like, Scream knockoff or something. I'm
I
like,
was like,
I'll give
aren't
it a
those
shot,
the movies
you know?
In the movie?
Yeah. But, yeah, it was just really bad acting. And I don't know who the hell did the wardrobe for this movie, but these people were dressed just appallingly. Like, one guy was wearing, like, a leather T-shirt that was, like, really ill-fitting.
I thought you said it. They were dressed appallingly.
Yeah, I know. It's something you'd wear every day, right?
Right.
That's what you buy for Randy.
That's all I have is leather tees.
Oh, and then this one guy was wearing these cargo pants that were seriously, like, made for a clown or something. They were just giant.
Maybe he was on his way to a rave back in 1997.
Yeah, maybe. Anyways, it was really, really terrible acting. I wouldn't recommend anybody watch this movie. It's not worth your time. They even have this whole plot line because they're all, like, at this house. And they have this plot line where these, like, three guys, one of them used to date one of the women, are kind of, like, hiding in the forest. And you think, okay, is one of them going to be the killer? Are they going to get killed off slowly? How is it going to play? You watch one of them sort of get killed off, and then the rest of them just disappear, and they never pick up the plot line again. And you're...
Why would they?
Yeah.
It's cutting in on the leather tee time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah. Oh, awesome. And Hap. Oh, Sarah just pinged me. Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
And then I watched Hack, which I thought might be cool because it had Winnie from, what's that show called?
Wonder Years.
Yes, thank you, The Wonder Years. And I always had, like, a crush on her when I was a kid, so I was I'll watch that, you know. But it was also pretty.
What was that one called?
Hack, with an exclamation point at the end. You know, movies with an exclamation point in the title are always going to be awesome.
Mm. I might need to give you some rules on pre-screening on the Netflix stream.
Well, okay. I stupidly, like, read the customer reviews instead of critic reviews.
Oh, I totally do that too. So,
and
I can't critique
people
you anymore.
People need you to believe that these are, like, the best movies out there, and they're just not, you know?
And they lie to you.
Yeah, they totally lied to me.
Okay, let me see. I'm going to try to add Sarah to this call.
Hello!
Hello. We just had a really fascinating conversation about how to add you to the call. That
I'll give you fair warning. My Skype's acting a little funky. It actually loaded up in French on me.
Oh, bonjour. Well, we're right now in the middle of our Watch What Happened, or what we've been watching. So you didn't miss too much.
No, not at all.
Ariel, did you have another title?
Well, I mean, I have a bunch that I've been watching, but I don't want to, like, bore everybody with tons of movies.
Okay, all right.
Wait, I have one more, though, that okay, I will good. Recommend. Actually, okay. It's, like, a good movie to watch.
Okay.
I've watched, you know, I've watched, like, the old horror movies, like, a million times over. Okay. Frankenstein I've probably seen, like, 20 times. But I've never taken the time to watch, like, the other Frankenstein movies other than Bride of.
Right.
So I started watching all of those. Like, I watched Bride of again, and I watched Son of Frankenstein and House of Frankenstein. I have to watch Ghost of Frankenstein still. But I'm actually surprised at how good they are, really. Because you'd think, I mean, with most series, when they, you know, keep, like, rehashing right. it, they get tired and old. But, I mean, the cinematography is still gorgeous, just like it is in the first one. And they do, like, you know, kind of new things with it. I mean, still... you know, Frankenstein, but right. they're really good. And if you like those kind of movies, they're still really entertaining. I was pleasantly surprised by that.
Excellent. Right on. Good suggestions. Okay. So moving in alphabetical order.
Yeah, I've got a couple here to talk about. Some that I'll just throw out very quickly because I don't want to spend that much time on them. I watched Demons. That's the sort of zombie-ish one that takes place in the cinema. It was okay, not very good. I watched Sleeping with the Enemy, which was kind of a throwaway psycho husband movie with Julia Roberts, which wasn't that great either. I finally got around to watching Nosferatu.
Oh,
the original. Yeah, it was good. It was kind of a struggle. I didn't realize how much of a chore it would actually be to sit through because it was really, really, really old. Because I'd seen like some of the 30s, you know, Universal movies and everything, but this is like 10 years before, and I guess that long ago, that's a big jump in, you know, movie technology. So yeah, I was surprised at how much of a struggle it was, but it was good. I still enjoyed it.
What's the running time like on that?
It's not very long.
It's like an hour long, I think, maybe just over an hour.
Yeah, I watched it not too long ago. I mean, I think I talked about it on the podcast once, but because I had always meant to see it and then never had, and I watched it, and like there are, I mean, I can definitely see what you're saying. I watch so many old movies, I think it wasn't quite maybe as much of a stretch for me, but I've also read that there are so many different versions of it, right. and a lot of them have different music, like background music, and that the one I saw, for instance, the background music did not really match the movie at all. And I feel like if it had had proper soundtrack, it would have like heightened the suspense and the tension in it. And for me, like, they almost had like a comical soundtrack that just sort of ruined.
Yeah. Mine sounded like a fairly standard sort of orchestral score to it. But one version that is on Love Film, which is the sort of UK equivalent of Netflix, is like a weird sort of techno goth, you know, kind of cyber soundtrack.
Is it the typo negative version?
I don't know. Possibly. I didn't watch it. I didn't really want to. yeah, I've heard that sometimes they screen the movie and they have an orchestra playing at the same time as the movie. That sounds like a wicked idea, and I'd love to go and see something like that. I've got a strong recommendation I want to throw out. It's a movie I just saw, a Spanish movie called Julia's Eyes.
I've been wanting to see that. I've
heard about that.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I don't want to say too much about it because it'll spoil it, but it's about a woman who's gradually going blind and she's investigating her sister's suicide. And it's clear quite early on that she doesn't think her sister committed suicide, and she's trying to figure out what's going on, but then she's losing her vision. And it was really, really, it started off kind of slow, and there's quite a few things that were fairly contrived, just to move the plot along. But my God, by the end, I mean, we're just on the edge of our seats by the end of it.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds great.
So, okay, I think I read something about how, like, as she's going blind, as an audience, you see less and less. Is that true?
Well, I don't want to give too much away. I mean, I've been reading about it as well, and I'd heard that, you know, this is like a, you know, it's like no other movie that you've ever seen before, and it's very original the way it's made. To be honest, I found it fairly standard, you know, movie making. There wasn't anything that was that. But yeah, there's a technique that's used towards the very end. I don't want to give too much away. there's a point. I mean, I guess you can kind of see it coming. Like, she's sort of going blind, so when she's trying to run away and everything from the antagonist, she cuts the power, so it's completely pitch black, and most of that scene is in darkness, and that was really, really suspenseful. It was really, really good. Yeah, so I definitely recommend that if you get to see it. A movie that I wanted to ask you guys about, I don't know if you've seen it. In the UK, it's called Cradle Will Fall. I think in the States, it's called Baby Blues. I don't know if you've heard about it or seen it.
Oh,
no.
I think I haven't seen it, but I saw something about it because it was like shown up. Yeah, but I read about sort of the content of it, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, well, I read the content and thought, that sounds quite interesting, and I watched it, and it's about...
I love that.
Yeah, reference episode 21 of the Zombie Girls podcast. I had to watch. And it's about a woman with postnatal depression who tries to kill her kitten. And I thought, wow, that sounds really edgy, really gripping, you know, really, really interesting. And it was kind of just a basic slasher movie, and I was kind of... I didn't like it very much, and it felt, I mean, I'm not the world's biggest feminist, don't throw me off your podcast or anything, but I kind of felt like, because that's an inherently a woman thing to suffer from, and they're making that into what's driving her to kill, I don't know, I kind of felt kind of offended in some way, and I didn't like it, and I wonder if you've ever seen anything like that and feel the same way. But then the next movie that I wanted to talk about that I'd seen does a very similar thing, which I actually really liked, and that's Play Misty for Me, which is kind of like a Fatal Attraction precursor.
Oh, the old Clint Eastwood movie.
Yes, yeah. I haven't seen that in years, but yeah. It is really good.
It is really
good. God.
Yeah, but I love that movie, and I love Fatal Attraction, so I wondered what it was about Cradle Will Fall that made it not appeal to me. But I guess there's in Play Misty for Me, the character, I forget her name, is it Jessica Walter, the actress? She there's obviously something else wrong with her that's not specific to being a woman that drives her crazy. So I wonder if that is what sort of got to me. But yeah, I just wondered if any of you had seen it and if you'd felt the same way or not. But
I'm definitely going to check it out now.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting. I think it sounds like it probably was because of the postpartum depression. I mean, I think a lot of people who don't know that much about it think that, you know, women just like, you know, go completely nuts and like kill their children, which really isn't true. I mean, a lot of women have postpartum depression and nothing like that happens. There's something called postpartum psychosis, which very few women get. And that's when you hear about, you know, women doing things that are
driving into their van full of kids into water.
Exactly.
And stuff.
Sure. But that is like, I mean, it doesn't happen very frequently.
But I think it's definitely an interesting topic for a horror movie.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because like, even if you think about something like The Children, the antagonist becomes a child and you have to defend yourself and kill a child. I mean, that's pretty horrifying stuff. So, I think it's a unique take, but I would be interested to see what they actually do with it and see if I come away with the same feeling as Jodie.
Maybe it's the
I
way they handled it.
I suspect I will because...
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. I think it just was just the way they handled it. And because, you know, it's got so much potential to be, you know, really quite controversial. And it was just a sort of substandard slasher movie, really, that used this. And I felt, I don't know, maybe I felt like it was kind of a cheap shot to use something like that to make, you know, like...
Without really exploring it.
Yeah, and without going any deeper, really, than she's gone a bit nuts now. And, oh, she's a woman, she can't handle their emotions and things like that. I don't know. Whereas with other movies like Fatal Attraction, there's something deeper there, and there's more sort of ambiguity of, you know, what's going on, and, you know.
Well, it's not a gender specific psychosis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm clumsily trying to get to. Yeah.
Well, interesting. I definitely have been eyeballing it, so maybe it just kind of got pushed up on the list.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what you think.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's all I had.
Very good, very good. All right, well, we're going to jumble up the alphabet now and let Sarah go next.
Okay, let's see what I've been watching. I've been revisiting the entire Hellraiser series, but I've only gotten to part 6.
Only part 6.
How many are there?
8.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's
Other than in the first 3, there's some, you know, cheesy lightning effects. Those still pretty much hold up. The thing that bothers me about 4 is the thing that always bothers me about movies that have some sort of legacy in them, is like they'll have the same actor play his great 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 grandfather and then his father, and then and it's like, see, it's the same lineages because it's the same, they look the same. It's
come on. Yeah.
You know, and the guy wasn't that good of an actor anyway, so it's just kind of like, ugh.
That only works on the assumptions.
But 4 and 5 were pretty good standalone movies.
Hmm.
You know,
really?
and some really great looking Cenobites in 5.
Hmm. I've never actually seen past the first one.
Oh, really?
No.
I've seen the first 3.
I've only seen the first 2.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed because on Netflix, the Hellraiser 2, a long time ago, I had on VHS an extended cut, and there's this scene where this guy who has a psychosis, or maybe it's real, that he's got bugs crawling in and out of his skin, and someone gives him a straight razor.
Yeah. Nice.
And that's the scene in the extended cut is just brutal. I'd say it's a good, like, 30 to 45 seconds of him just cutting away at himself.
Oh, wow.
And it is awful. And it's just like in the theatrical version, they hand him the razor. He looks at his arm and you see these bugs crawling in and out of his arm. And then he like puts the razor against his arm and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
disappointing.
Yeah. That I totally remember that scene. So I must've seen the same version that you had. Cause I remember I'm kind of being traumatized by that scene.
Yeah, as soon as you mentioned
like,
Rachel
starts
like rubbing her arms. <scratched. laughs>
Let's see, what else have I seen? I haven't been watching a whole lot of horror films lately because I've really gotten into Game of Thrones.
Well, we can talk about that.
Oh, yeah, that is so good. That is amazing.
Has everyone here seen it? Because I don't want to spoil it.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
because Mariah said I was
going
to try to find it, but I couldn't.
Okay, you got to see it. You got to get past the first couple episodes, which are really rapey, because then.
Right.
Like, that first couple episodes, I like was just like, I don't think I can do this. But I wanted to really bad because I like Sean Bean so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I just was like, I don't think I can watch another girl like get raped, right? And then it just takes off. And by the end of the series, the women are the best, like the strongest, like characters in the series.
Oh, that's good.
And they're like one of them. Her story arc from the first episode to the last.
Oh,
is,
Danny. Yeah.
Yes, I love Danny. And that final scene. Oh my God! You guys gotta watch it. It's so good. Okay. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. Let's see. What else have I seen? Oh. Yeah. I don't know why, but I decided to watch Quarantine 2, The Terminal.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that was good.
Actually, you know what? If they hadn't tried to connect it to the first movie at all, it would have been an all right standalone movie. But they, like, you know how when you get sequels that aren't really connected, but they use kind of like a half-assed link to it.
Yeah.
They like
you know,
springboard off the name of the first one.
Yeah, kind of. And it's like there's one scene where there's a TV shown and they're like, what's happening? Oh, they're quarantining a building in downtown LA.
Mm.
And then like, you know, there's a character that's got a cold and he says, oh, I must have got it from my dog. Every dog in my neighborhood's sick.
Right.
And it's like, you know, and it's kind of like, I don't know. It would have been a better movie if it wasn't considered a quarantine film.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think what makes that even worse is that Rec and Rec 2 were so,
so
cleverly weaved together. You know what I mean? Like all these little strings that get dropped in the first get picked up in the second.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, and already Quarantine was sort of like the you know, embarrassing cousin of the Rex. So like, that's just like one more gene pool removed. That's sad.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, though.
Yeah, well, that's about it. Like I said, I haven't been watching a whole lot of horror-related stuff lately.
Awesome. Well, Game of Thrones is definitely worth your time. So
yes,
I'm not mad at you. Okay, well,
I know you guys are all well, I don't know about you, Joe, but True Blood fans. What'd you think of the premiere?
I have not watched it yet. It's sitting on my TiVo. But last night Summer was over and she was like, "You got to power through the premiere because the next episode is good." But I read the book. I've given up on the books at this point, but I read the first 9 books.
Yeah,
and like as soon as they introduced the fairy stuff, I was like, peace. This shit is lame. So I was hoping that the show would do something different because it like it, you know, it definitely broke away from the books quite a bit, like the fact that Lafayette is still alive. You know, he dies in the first book.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm only on the third season right now. I'm trying to catch up. But right. What I love about the show is how they constantly, like, they're ending, they always end seasons leaving you thinking it's going to be just like the book. And then when they pick it up in the next season, it's, like, totally different.
Right.
And that makes it interesting.
Right. So I was hoping they weren't going to go the stupid fairy way. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I definitely like the show. I'm going to watch it, but I'm not as into it as I was prior to
the In the books, like, I haven't gotten to the fairy war part or anything, whoa. But when the fairy thing, honestly, in the books, like, so far.
They're just not scary. I don't care how ancient they are. Right. Ooh! I mean, whatever. Grant my wish. Shut the fuck up.
I haven't gone to that part, but just so far, like, with her, like, meeting her great-grandfather, that's all that's really happened. And it doesn't, I don't know, people seem to be so outraged when they found out in the books that she was a fairy, but to me, it didn't bother me that much just because the books aren't that great to begin with.
They're so definitely, it's like, very, like, very, very
light. I mean, I read them as when I've, you know, got a migraine or something, and I need something really, like, light to read. Do you right. know what I mean? Like, they're not very well
They're very
written.
Popcorn-y.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Lots of sexy sex.
Well, see, I used to be a fan of the Laurel K. Hamilton, Anita Blake series.
Mm-hmm.
And Anita Blake was this really badass character. And then it's like she became a sexual succubus, and you right. get these 500-page books, and 300 of them are her, like, fucking multiple guys at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brienne actually, you know, she loves the Sookie Stackhouse books, and so I gave her, like, the first three of those, and I warned her that, like, if you fall in love with the series, just know that at some point it turns into something totally different.
Boo. All right. What did you think? Okay, so you watched it. What did you think? Was it, do you approve my summer's preview?
My only complaint with it is that it's like almost a year, or it's like a year from where the last season left off. And so there's things that are going on at that moment that it's like, wait a minute, when did that happen?
Right. Like, you feel like you got cheated out of a bunch of plot.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole season missing there. I'm just waiting for someone to wake up in a shower and find out it's only a dream.
Oh, my God. Nice. Well played. Right on. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely going to check it out, but... It's no Game of Thrones. Let's just say that.
Oh.
No, it's not.
It's so funny because when you, like...
You know what you didn't talk about that what show you've been watching?
Oh, Supernatural?
Yes.
So good. I've only seen the first season. Rachel sent me home with it, and I watched all of it in, like, just a couple days. Cause
I know. I got,
so
like, a text,
good.
Like, 2 minutes later. You're like, I'm on episode 17, and it's amazing.
I have
it's
the first...
really, really entertaining.
All right, so
so what have you been watching?
I know, my turn. Yay! Okay, well, I've been watching a lot, but I'm only going to talk about, I guess, maybe two things. And I've already forgotten what one of them was, so it might be just one thing. What the hell was the other one? I should have wrote this shit down, but I was like, no, I got this. Okay, well, I'll talk about one thing I know I want to talk about, and I don't know if I've talked about it yet, because I watched it a while ago. Have I already talked about... what is it called?
Suspense is killing me.
I know. God damn it. Dale versus Evil.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I forgot to talk about that too.
But anyways, okay. So Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I don't know how I forgot that because I
don't know how
it
you
too.
Forgot that. So you did watch it.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Have any of you guys seen this movie yet?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, okay. In general, I'm not really a horror comedy person. I feel like once in a while there'll be something really good, like Shaun of the Dead mm-hmm. is really good.
So
there have been a few horror comedies that have worked for me. But mostly I feel like they kind of shortchange both genres a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, they're not really that funny and they're not really that scary. Mm-hmm. This movie, I have to say, was such... It's just, like, the most fun
mm-hmm.
I have seen in a long time. It's definitely leaning towards the comedy side. It's got the gore of a horror movie, but very much in a comedy. And it's sort of, like, the reversal of the, the hillbilly horror.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's, like, it opens up with, like, a group of, like, young, nubile teens heading off into the, you know, Appalachian Mountains. to camp or what, and you know, for like drinking drugs and hanky panky. And the whole thing is it plays on, I mean, there's really kind of only one joke, but it's really like they manage to keep it really fresh, mm-hmm. but that they're playing on the fear that the kids sort of like the assumptions and the stereotypes that they have of Tucker and Dale, where they are, everything they do, they assign sort of like, you know, nefarious overtones. And then there's like just this really slapsticky, but not fake looking, like realistic gore, but that's mm-hmm. super slapsticky at the right. same time. And the whole movie would not be really that strong if it weren't for the fact that Tucker and Dale are so fucking likable.
Oh, I know.
It's Alan so Tudyk, who, if you are a geek,
Firefly.
You know from Firefly. He's awesome. And, I'm blanking on his name, but the actor who played Sock in Reaper, who was totally the best part of that show. Can't think of his name all of a sudden, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, and they're just, I don't know, they're just so, their comic timing is just so on point that it just, it's great. I give it like my highest recommendation.
Yeah.
If that sounds like it could be funny to you, you should check it out.
It was so good, and I had had like a really crappy day, and I put it on, and it totally like, you know, lifted my spirits, and I was like, oh, this is so good. I'm so glad I watched it. And what was funny for me too is I actually spent a couple summers in the middle of nowhere in Alaska, and their vacation house, like I went up to Alaska to stay at my sister had inherited a cabin from her dad, and this cabin had been like his home, but you know, it had no electricity, no running water. It had an outhouse, and it had been left abandoned for a couple of years. And so when we got there, it literally looked like their vacation house.
Oh
and,
my God.
And when we'd go to like visit some of the people that she knew in Alaska, I mean, I'd like walk up and I'd say, Disa, I seriously feel like I'm in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like this house looks like I'm going to be walking in and they're going to be like bones hanging from the ceiling. And then they'd be like these wonderful, awesome people that I've got to know and right. still stay in contact with. And so it kind of played like, on that for me.
Familiar. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love when they get to the house and there's like all the like newspaper clippings on the wall of yes. like serial killer stuff. And they're like, oh, he's a news enthusiast. Yeah, that movie is fucking hilarious. Did you like it, Sarah?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yep.
You know, it was a lot of fun. And just some of the gags in there. I mean, some of the way these kids end up like dying is hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know. Okay. All right. Cool. Oh, I remember what my other movie is.
Okay. Good.
Go me. All right. So I just watched this the other day. It's a movie called The Shrine. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
It's like a little indie film. And it's got one of the girls from Supernatural, the girl who plays Dean's girlfriend in later seasons. With the kid? No? Okay. So, so it's got her, and then it also has, like, there's the Ashmore twins, you know who I'm talking about? Like, there's the two brothers, one of them's in Frozen, the other one was, like, on, I mean, no? Okay. Never mind.
Sorry.
Other people will recognize them. There's, like, two brothers, Sean and Aaron Ashmore, and they're identical twins, so you've probably seen them in a lot of things, but you've actually only seen one of, you know, like, them in half, you think, because there's two of them.
Sure.
So, the main character, she's investigated for journalist, and her editor does not want her to like follow up on real stories. He's like, I want you to go look at this story about bees dying, blah, blah, blah. But she's kind of caught on to this story that's happening in Poland where these, like over, you know, 20 years or so, people keep going missing in this area of Poland. So against her editor's wishes, she takes herself, an intern, and she talks her boyfriend, who's a photographer, into going with her to Poland under like false pretenses to investigate this phenomenon or whatever. So they get there and it's like this very like old timey Poland town. Like everybody has like handmade clothes on and, they're really unfriendly and kind of intimidating. And there's like weird religious stuff going on. But off in the distance, in like in a forested area, there's this like column of smoke. that doesn't move. It's like this permanent column of smoke. And one of the last things that the most recent victim talked about was seeing it, and he was going to investigate it, and then he ended up missing after that. And so they decide to go and investigate it, and sort of like what they find in the mist and, you know, kind of what happens as a result is the rest of the movie. So I don't want to spoil it. But what's really interesting about the movie is that half of it is in Polish. So, and there's no subtitles, cause, and there's not meant to be subtitles. Hmm. So you're completely in the dark for what they're saying. You have to just sort of base what you're seeing off of, you know, their behaviors.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. And it definitely adds to the air of suspense, mm-hmm. because you can see the aggression on their faces, but you don't know what they're saying. You really have no idea what's happening next. There's no like asides with the villains where they suddenly speak English and they're like talking about their plans in really bad accents. So and it stays true to that throughout the entire film. So you kind of, you have to, so, I mean, it definitely remains suspenseful through the whole thing. Like, and I'll tell you, what's in the mist is actually pretty fucking creepy. It could have been stupid, but I think they did it pretty effectively, where I definitely got a little like, ooh, out of it.
Because that's a fatal flaw in a lot of those kind of movies.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely an independent film, so there's some kind of iffy special effects at some points. Mm-hmm. But,
I can forgive that.
But there's some pretty good gore in the movie, too. It's not gonna like change your life. It's not the best thing I ever saw, but it, for a little like a indie surprise, something when you're really expecting very little, it delivers quite a bit. It has a little bit of a slow start. I have to warn that like there's a build up to it. Everything leading up to the point they get to Poland is a little bit snoozy, but you have to kind of stick with it because there is a pretty good payoff. So if you run across The Shrine, I definitely would give it a recommendation. Recommendation.
Oh, I need more coffee.
It's like, I recommend you get stolen by the government and taken to the
MFA. I don't even know what that is.
It's a rendition of how much you recommend the movie.
There you <Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
laughs> That's my rendition.
Has anybody seen Troll Hunter? I keep reading about
it. You haven't seen that yet?
No.
No.
Oh, yes.
They were playing it in Oakland. I didn't get there in time to see it.
No, no, it's great. It's really good.
Okay, good.
I think that was one on rec. I think that was one of my what you've been watching.
Okay.
It's really good. It's quite enjoyable. It's like it's weird. It's sort of like Labyrinth, but in a very taken very seriously.
Yeah, I read a review where somebody kind of compared it to that Santa Claus movie.
Oh, Rare Exports! What a mind trip that movie!
Oh, that was a great movie.
I know,
that was so good.
Yeah. It was great. I don't want to spoil it, but
no, the end is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I don't know how Amnesty International would feel about the ending, but I loved it.
It was so funny.
All right, so that's basically it for what you've been watching. That's what I've been watching.
Yeah.
Sounds like we got some good recommendations and some good warnings to avoid.
Yeah.
So I guess that brings us to our movie of the week or the month or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So tonight we're going to be talking about The Slumber Party Massacre from 1982. Woo! Woohoo! Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about the movie. It was directed by Amy Holden Jones, who directed Love Letters, which I guess is like sort of an 80s thriller with Jamie Lynn Curtis.
Really?
Yes.
Have I not heard of that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's some sort of like sleeper thriller or whatever. Huh. She also directed The Rich Man's Wife, which is that movie with Halle Berry from the 90s. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sarah really doesn't remember it. No. And then she also wrote the screenplay for The Relic.
Wait, for what?
The Relic.
Like that movie?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay, and... But more interestingly, it was the screenplay for this was written by Rita Mae Brown, who is, you know, sort of a famous lesbian feminist. Mm-hmm. You know, she was a part of Now in its very earliest iteration. Like, I think it was even before it was called Now, but she was forced out of the group by Betty Friedan for for wanting to include like different economic classes, and most importantly, she wanted there to be like a lesbian feminist aspect to it. They want, and she was just like, "Oh, the Lavender Menace," and kicked her out. So forcibly too. She did not. She went kicking and screaming and like, but they were able
to.
Yeah,
she talked a lot about it afterwards.
Right. Yeah. She's also famous for having dated Martina Navratilova for a while.
Ooh, yeah.
And
yeah.
she writes mystery novels from her cat's perspective now. Which I can't tell if that's just like super lesbian or just super weird.
A little from column A.
Yeah, right, right. Exactly. So anyways, she originally wrote this as a parody and a send up of slashers. You got to think this is only 4 years after Halloween came out. So you can definitely feel a lot. I don't know. For me personally, I felt a lot of the influence of Halloween in this.
Oh
movie.
Yeah,
definitely. A lot.
So, but when they got to so she meant it as a parody, but when they basically did a short. They took $1,000 and they made a short little like clip of the movie and they sent it to Roger Corman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they were able to finance the movie. But it was shot, and the movie itself was taken very like straightforward, shot like a straightforward horror movie. That's why it's kind of got weird humor in it in places that it's intentional and maybe not so intentional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's basically the background of Slumber Party Massacre. Who would like to take the lead on the synopsis, Exploding Joe?
I'll do it then.
Yay!
Right. So the movie opens with the news that this serial killer has escaped from prison. His name is Russ Thorne, which sounds like a sounds like a character in a romance novel or something.
I wrote porn name, exclamation point.
Actually, no, I'll take a step back. The movie opens with boobs, like half a minute in.
I know.
Yeah.
What's happened to a snooty? Check. I was like surprised in a couple of shots. I'm like, oh, right, this is a female director. Like the pan down.
The shower scene, the basketball without bras. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. There's like a kibosh on bras. They were like,
I know.
They burned them
at
the door.
Bouncing up and down, and the guys are watching them. And like,
the guys are ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely. Very, very unusual. So our main character is a girl called Trish. I guess her and her high school friends, they play basketball. And there's this new girl that they don't like called Valerie, who, because she's really pretty and she's really good at basketball, and they don't like her. Trish's parents are going away, so she's going to have a slumber party where they're going to smoke weed and drink beer and stuff. And all the girls are invited. So this guy, Russ Thorne, he's sort of like stalking the girls at school. He kills a woman, like a telephone repair lady or something, cable repair lady, kills her and steals her van, and then is like going up and down the street in this van. They've also got this PE teacher. I didn't catch her name. Coach something. She sort of plays a big part later on. I'd call her Coach. Yeah. So one of their friends is killed at school. That was Brink Stevens, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I've only ever seen one Brink Stevens movie. Can you guess which one?
The Slumber Party Massacre.
Apart from that, it's awful. Dead Clowns.
I know.
It's dreadful. So the girls arrive at Trish's house and they plan to get sort of drunk and stoned and everything. So this guy starts stalking them. This girl Valerie that they don't like lives next door, and she's babysitting her sister. And his sister is trying to get her to crash the party and things. Meanwhile, the boys are sort of spying on the girls, looking through the windows and things, looking at them getting undressed again in the living room for no apparent reason.
Right. I like how they're like shouting about it the whole time, and the girls are like totally oblivious.
I know, and they've got their windows open, and they're all like undressing right there. And then, of course, at a slumber party, as we all know, we wear little white teddies, you know.
Well, I think this is a perfect example of how it was supposed to be a parody, and then it
not.
Yeah. So I guess long story short, they one by one get killed by this guy Russ Thorne with a massive drill.
The best Oh, yeah. I mean, because, you know, like, I mean, okay, we, Jody and I were talking, or, you know, prior to the show, kind of joking about, you know, how we busted out our copies of Men, Women, and Chainsaws. And, like, there's the whole idea of the knife as, like, being, like, an implement of rape, and it's penetrating the woman.
Yeah.
Wow.
Drill.
The drill.
And it is giant drill.
It's enormous. Huge. Like, how is that even, like, inefficient? I mean, like, I understand you can get him to stand still, but it just seems like a really bulky, heavy piece of equipment to be like,
I mean, you don't really see him sort of operating it that much, but it looks like one you have to wind up with your hand rather than pressing a button and it's spinning around. It doesn't look like it moves that fast and could do much damage, really. But
he manages to like drill people's eyes out and slip their stomachs open with it.
I like it when he slashed the throat. That to me kind of worked. Cool. But like the having to get them to stand still to do the drill, I mean, like, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of trying to clip your cat's nails. Like, they're moving around, you know? Like, but that's just me.
Yeah. That's kind of, well, that's the main sort of plot, really. I mean, do you want us to go into more detail about what happens in each scene? Or?
Well, I think we can talk a little bit about, should we dissect the scenes a little bit and then do the end? About the end? Okay. Sure. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the slumber party. We didn't talk about the creepy-ass fucking neighbor.
Oh, that guy was so beyond a catch a predator.
I was like, where is Chris Matthews?
Yeah.
Where is Chris Matthews?
Yeah, that guy was just such a creeper.
Over again. The one thing I kind of liked about him is that they sort of allude to the fact a little bit that, like, oh, he could be the killer because he kind of keeps winding up in these places where you think the killer is.
Mm, right.
But then they just cut that short and kill him off.
Yeah, and you see who the killer is, like, really early on as well. I mean, it's very odd.
I think that was one of the biggest failings of this movie, really, is that the killer just isn't scary. I mean, you can have a killer where you don't know a lot about his motivation or anything like that, as long as they're really creepy, and he just wasn't. For the majority of the movie, there's, like, one scene where I think he's creepy, but for the majority of the movie, he just seems bland and boring, and he's just kind of walking around, stalking.
Crazy eyes.
Yeah. I just thought, I don't know, it didn't work for me as being scary at all.
I can see that.
Well, I think, you know, here's the thing. It's supposed to be like a send-up of the slasher movies, but it kind of missed one of the biggest things, which is like the POV shots.
Yeah,
like you didn't get a lot of that, and there's not a lot of him like in shadow, and there's no there's not really like a build-up to a reveal. I mean, the first time he kills somebody in the van, you get like a full shot of his face, you know, his name, you know, his motivation. Like, there's really no mystery to him at all. So, and that's usually you know, a big part of the plot is discovering who this killer is.
Right, exactly, which is what I was saying about the neighbor. Like, if they had not shown you who the killer was, you could have maybe thought it was the neighbor for a while. Right. But they ruined that by showing it to him. And yet they continued to kind of act like you were going to mistake the two.
Yeah, right. I think that's one of the missed opportunities in this film. And another one that I thought could have been a really neat part is, do you remember at the very beginning when the two boys are like flirting with the repair woman, and then she gets into a van and they walk away, and in the background you see her being killed, and I thought oh wow, that's really cool, because it's not in focus, it's like right at the back and she's banging on the windows.
Yeah,
and then if they'd left that scene there, I think that could have been really, really cool, and it would have given, you know, a lot of mystery to the killer. But then they just zoom right in on the van and you see what's happening inside, and I don't know, it just takes away some of the I don't know, impact that scene could have had. And then later when they're walking past, and there's kind of like a shot from above, and you see the kids walking past going home from school, and you see the body in the dumpster. Mm-hmm. And again, they zoom right in on it. I think if they just left it sort of in the background where you're like, oh shit, yeah, there's that woman again, that would have been cool. But
yeah, totally agree. Totally. You're on point. Like, it went on too long. Like, if they had cut that scene short, it would have been great.
Yeah.
The other thing this movie did, like, with like no shame whatsoever, was the false jump scare.
Right.
We even had the cat jumping out of closets.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I was like, I wrote all my notes, cat jump scare, boo. and they do it over and over again. Like, there's the snail murder that takes place with the cleaver.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and the broken pot, like, they're on the stove, which, by the way, she immediately grabs.
I know.
I was like, your hand.
Your
hand.
You're burning yourself. Hello.
Let's see here. What else is of a note? Oh God, we got to talk about the the Sylvester Stallone cameo.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
He's on the cover of Playgirl.
Oh yeah. When they pulled that out, I was like, oh no. Oh.
You know what character I actually really liked in the movie was I kind of liked the little sister.
So did Courtney.
I thought she was funky.
Yeah.
And I like that she just, you know, she like, oh, sorry. It's totally punching. I just punched you in the boob or the arm.
It was actually my arm.
Yes.
It's usually
my arm. I know. I'm such a molester on the show. I don't know what my problem is. But yeah, I thought she was really spunky. I liked that she like, you know, she wanted to go over there and she just like took her little ass over there.
I also liked the one scene where she's talking to her girlfriend on the phone about kissing with her tongue.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a thing. That was so gross. I almost threw it up.
Right. And see, that's another, you could tell that was kind of like one of those things that came from the parody, but that joke actually kind of went off.
Yeah.
But like the weird stuff about like jerking people off in fifth grade, I was like, ooh. Yeah.
It was creepy.
Okay, so one of the kills in the movie that takes place is in the garage, with the couple that are hooking up. And like in that instance, I kind of got the whole Halloween vibe from that whole thing. Because he gets killed in the detached garage.
Right.
Yeah. And which, by the way, I was like, oh, wait, I have a detached garage. Oh, no. The first rule of surviving a horror movie, attached garage. But I don't know. Did you guys kind of get that too?
Yeah. I mean, there were moments of Halloween, like her hiding in the closet too.
Yeah. And the shots of the girls like walking home from school with their books and everything, that reminded me a lot of Halloween.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You know, especially with the, like the van in the background. There's a couple of scenes where that van's there. But with that scene in the garage, the thing that stuck out for me the most was that she gets in the car and goes to like run her hand through her boyfriend's hair and his head falls off as she screams. And then in the next shot, she's got all this like blood on the side of her face.
Like, it's all over her mouth. Like she had been taken out with the stump of a neck.
I think that's an editing thing, right? Like maybe she kissed him or something.
That's what I thought. And so I went back and watched it again and I was like, no, she didn't kiss him.
Oopsie doopsie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that though. There's a lot of continuity problems in the show. Have you noticed that? Like windows opening, closing, or like people supposed to have something in their hands and then they don't, or they do.
Yeah.
The phone. Okay. The phone dying and then her going and calling someone.
Yeah. The coach, right? And she got to call the coach.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Let's see here. So we talked about the snail murder. I also have to give a shout out to the gigantic granny panties that are featured in this movie.
Yes.
Everybody's rocking the granny panties.
And kind of baggy too. Like,
yeah, like the ill-fitting granny panties. Okay, but that actually brings me to, we got to talk about like sort of the male roles in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like even the neighbor who turns out to not really be up to anything bad. Like everybody is super, all the male roles are super, super sexualized.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Like from the guys in the window, like, oh my God, what do we do to deserve this?
Those guys cracked me up though, because they were just such, I don't know, junior hires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just, you know, it's like, and especially when the one guy was hitting on the phone girl and his buddy's just busting his chops.
Yeah. Just like takes him by the hand and walks him away.
I will say they definitely were one of the funnier parts of the movie.
Yeah.
But they're just such a stereotype of a, like hormonal teenage guy, like, you know.
Yeah. And all the slow shots of the boobs and everything were just like the shower scene after the basketball game, or she's like, you know, rubbing soap on her ass, and they keep like going down over and over again. Pass the soap.
Like somebody actually let go of the camera and it just like.
Meh. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so sort of when they find, there's like a lot of them worrying, like getting like jump scares and getting like, oh, are we alone, which kind of actually reminded me a little bit of Slumber Parties when I was younger. Can you remember it in a way? This movie, parts of this movie kind of made me nostalgic a little bit for Slumber Parties when I was a kid, and like hearing things and thinking someone was coming and like getting all freaked out. You know,
yeah, I liked the sort of Charlie's Angel moment where there are three girls are sitting and they each have knives, and one's in the middle, two other are sitting to the side, and it literally looks like that Charlie's Angel picture, you know.
That's cool,
right? So, okay, so but there's like kind of like what kicks off the whole, like, I would say the third act of the movie is when the pizza comes.
Yes.
And I have to say there is a great line in there when they're talking to the quote unquote pizza guy through the door, and they're like, "What's the damage?" Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Six so far."
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty clever,
and
actually.
That was cool. I like that.
His eyes gouged out.
He got the drill to both eyes.
And I like how the one girl eats the pizza. Like
And uses the dude as a table.
Is, like, falling over on top of the pizza.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. She's like, yeah, life goes on.
She's like, and she takes a bite and she's like, see, I feel better already.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff. But she kind of, I feel like they kind of shortchange her. She's the one that gets slashed through the neck, right?
I think so.
Okay, this is where another part where I felt was like super Halloween-esque, where you have, I mean, just the way that the story is sort of divided up, where you have like the, what's happening in the house where the murders are taking place. And then there's the secondary story where there's a girl babysitting across the street. Our final girl is kind of removed from the action for the most part of the movie, but ends up having to head over there for, following her sister, who, you know, wants to show off her new hairdo and, you know, maybe talk to boys. So, but when they get there, they kind of, I think the younger sister is trying to get a beer out of the fridge.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny scene.
And
she keeps opening it, and the older sister tells her, like, not to. And they're not seeing it, but you're seeing the dead body of the blonde girl, Kim, in the fridge. And then she keeps closing it and opening it again, and you see her. And then finally she goes back to actually sneak a beer, and she finds the body.
Yeah.
That was really funny. That bit leading up to this scene, though, I didn't really like that much. When they're sort of going through the house and they think it's empty, that was kind of like, I thought, just how big is this house that they can't hear what's going on in these other rooms? Then it just felt a bit... You know.
And the pizza guy is already dead at that point.
Right? Yeah, I mean, how do you miss the eyeless pizza guy in the window?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Well, he's moved behind the couch.
That's right, because the killer's moving all the bodies. And then
That's how what's her name ends up in the fridge.
Right. Okay, good point.
Okay, was it just me or the girl in the fridge? Did she look like Brittany from Glee?
I'm going to have to turn this over to you guys.
I don't watch Glee.
Me either.
Maybe a little bit.
Okay, so I kind of like this scene here at this point where Val's off doing something, and we've got Courtney hiding underneath the couch.
Right.
Yeah.
And the driller killer like lays down and he's like, oh my work, you know, kind of like this sense of oh my work is done, to take a nap on the living room floor.
Oh, I thought he was hiding away to kill the next person.
Yeah,
oh,
was that what he was hiding doing? Under a blanket.
I thought he was like, okay,
no, because,
night.
Okay, they had taken the delivery guy.
Maybe I was just tired.
Yeah, he moved the delivery guy behind the couch, and he laid down covering himself with the blanket they had covered him with.
Yeah, that's what I thought,
The delivery boy with a blanket.
That makes more sense.
They didn't want to see him.
I was like, this boy is crazy.
But it's great, because the coach comes in, finally, like after, you know, however long after they called her, she comes in. And you've got the younger sister under the couch and the killer, you know, coming after the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And what does she, like, trips him, right?
Yeah, she sticks a leg out and trips him. And then
And then the coach, like, beats him over the head with
the very clearly
bat.
Rubber.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fire poker.
Oh, fire poker.
I had a problem with that scene.
Okay.
There was too many brunettes to keep them straight as who was where. Because, like...
Mm.
You know, it's like somebody goes down and somebody else hits him. And I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't he just stab her? Wait, oh, no, that's the other one.
Yeah, I found that a problem with most of this movie, actually, because you've got the two sisters that look the same. And then you've got Trish that looks the same and the coach that looks the same. And is it Diane, the one with the boyfriend who gets his head cut off? They've all got the same color hair and they look very similar. It's only really Jackie and Kim that look any different. So I found it quite hard to keep track of who was who.
See, you even know their names. I've seen this movie 3 times. I still don't know who they are.
I know. As she's naming these off, I was like, damn.
Well, I can name everybody, but I don't know who dies how. Like when you just said about she gets her throat, I'm like, oh, was that her? I don't remember.
Well, I mean, I have to point, like, kind of go back to this. I think it's, they have a very interesting relationship with their coach, where they're like calling her,
yeah,
ask her about how the game.
And then the coach comes over and is like, knocks on the door, nobody answers, opens the door. Okay, so-and-so hit a single in the eighth inning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just an interesting kind of, like,
that was weird. Yeah.
But I think, I mean, I guess it's supposed to be, like, a play on that character that comes in, like, the rescuing character that comes in,
mm-hmm.
in the, you know, in the third act or whatever.
It's like a psychiatrist or a cop. Or
right.
Right.
Right. Person. Like, she's supposed to be, like, the, what is his name? Dr. Loomis. She's mm-hmm. supposed to be Loomis,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Sort of. But she does not succeed.
No, she never well. Just like beat somebody twice and then leave it.
Mm. I know. I was like, hello, double tap. Everybody knows that. Like, come on. It's the same thing that killed me with the first Halloween when, you know.
Right. Sure.
When she stabs him once, like, she keeps putting the knife down.
I
was like,
never drop
you pick
knife.
Up the knife. Pick up the knife. Never put down the knife.
Exactly.
So they're definitely kind of guilty of the same sort of, like, logic or intelligence,
yeah.
you know, gaps.
What did you guys think about, like, the first time the killer actually speaks and he's, like, talking about...
I actually kind of liked that.
I yeah. did. That was, like, the yeah. one scene that I thought he actually did well and where he was a little bit creepy. He's, like, moving his jaw around really strangely and, like, the look in his eye was real creepy and, and the stuff. That kind of worked for me, whereas I found him really boring the rest of the
Yeah, because we don't get much background about him and why he killed all these people and why he did it before. But then that's yeah. the only glimpse that we get when he's going, I love you. You're all so yeah. pretty. And it's kind of it's weird. It's kind of uncomfortable because these are all like teenage girls. And he's like, I
exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I love that. Like, that was actually now imagine had they be had that coincided with, like, the reveal of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where the first time you get a full look at the character and he was saying all of that, it would have been a really powerful... Effective. I mean, it was yeah, already... Sure. It was pretty good, but it would have been a much, like, much more powerful scene.
Yeah, and you know if they ever remade it, you'd have a flashback to his childhood and all that nonsense that Rob Zombie did. But on its own, it's cool, because it gives you just enough to think, oh, this guy's, yeah, kind of fucked up, but then without giving you all the, you know, spoon-feeding you. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely a divergence from things that you've seen. Like, it's not revenge. It's not, you know, I mean, what just Michael Myers is just like a killing machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a different motivation, which I thought was kind of surprising and unique. And sorry,
yeah.
go ahead.
I just thought it was kind of cool that he didn't have a mask or anything and you just saw his face straight away at the beginning of the movie. And when you watch, you know, Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers getting their masks taken off every other movie and you see their face, and it's always kind of a letdown whenever you see what's behind the mask. So I guess you never get that letdown. Like you were saying just now about when you see what's in the mist and when they reveal the monster finally, it's usually a disappointment. So I guess with this, you never get that because you've seen him straight away.
True, right. But you also don't get that heightened, like,
yeah,
sense of suspense throughout.
Yeah,
right.
True, yeah.
We just got to grasp onto the things that work.
Yeah, I'm trying to find some positives.
So then after he, like, kills the coach, they stab him, and then he ends up killing the coach. Then Valerie chases him around with a giant machete.
Mm-hmm. I liked that whole scene where she's downstairs,
yeah.
and she's kind of going through the arsenal of what's in the basement.
Yeah. yeah.
And she, like, tries to run off with the what is that, the spinning saw thing that
yeah.
comes up.
And then she, like, runs up the stairs, but the cord isn't long enough, and she, like, falls down.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, crap.
But I like that she, like, graduated to a machete.
Yeah.
Which was great. Yeah. So, yeah. okay. So this
and
is...
then, like, the interesting scene, he's, like, chasing her with the drill. She's got the machete, and she chops the
yes.
drill in half.
Yes.
And it falls
yeah,
it's
amazing. Like, and it's,
yes.
I mean, the whole thing is, it's like this big metaphor for his big giant murderous cock, you know what
yes.
I mean? And she just
and
takes
she chops it off.
She chops
yeah.
off his
and
hand.
And then she chops off his hand. Too.
Yeah.
And then stabs him and kicks him in the pool. And
yeah, he falls in the pool.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But of course, that's not the end of him.
No,
of course not. They always got to come back, right?
Yeah, duh.
It's not a slasher if you don't have at least one shocking revival.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
I mean, I wasn't sure what I wasn't sure what this was trying to say in terms of the symbolism of this whole, you know, phallic murder weapon and everything, and what, like, if you've got a bigger cock, you win. I mean, because, like, obviously machete trumps drill.
Right.
So,
exactly. Rachel, what you were just talking about, how, you know, women are always getting stabbed and that's like a rape, you know, kind of thing.
The
and then how does he die, right? She's got the bigger
yeah.
knife, and she's holding it, and he falls down and impales himself on it.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that that was by accident. I think that was very much by design. Definitely. Because, I mean, God, that's sort of the feminist view of the slasher genre in general, is that, you know, like we've already talked about. So I mean, I don't know, for all the flaws of the movie, I actually did kind of like the final act where you finally had the final girl going toe to toe with him, and the reveal of the villain and
when he talks and everything. Yeah, that part of the movie I liked. The rest of it I could do without.
Well, and I was joking, you know, before we started recording that I saw this in high school at a slumber party, and my memory of it was just wall to wall drilling, like drills in heads, drills in faces, drills through walls into ears. Like I remember it being super gory, like through the laces of my fingers. So then when I put it on, I was like, all right, let's see how we go. Kind of a wimp. And then I was just like, where's all the drilling action? Like, it was so vanilla compared to my memory. Now, it could be that I'm blending them, because I know the next one, he has the guitar with the drill at the end.
That
sounds awesome.
I know, maybe watch that one.
So after I was done watching it, like, I was looking, you know, at what the different actresses had done. And I thought it was interesting. Val has only made like a couple movies, but one of them is called Sorority Babes in the Slime Ball Bowl-Arama.
Wow.
Awesome. I have to track that down.
I know, right?
Like, what like random movie title generator did that emerge from? You know, like where you like throw in your name and it comes back with your porn name? Like, that's totally what that is.
I want to say that actually stars the Let's Party Girl from Return of the Living Dead.
Oh, amazing.
Because she's like naked in every movie she'd been naked up until that point, and they wanted her to replace the original girl for trash, and she said no, that she wasn't going to, because she wanted to do a movie where she kept her clothes on.
All right.
Maybe that's why they gave her an ugly ass mohawk. Take that! Oh my god. Okay, so shall we go around the circle and say what we thought in general of the movie? Let's start with, we'll go alphabetical again, Ariel.
Well, I mean, like I said, the first, I don't know, three quarters of the movie, I just, you know, it was boring, a rehash of stuff I'd seen before, but not nearly as good. Too many boobies everywhere, and but then the last half I thought, you know, was good enough.
What about from like a feminist perspective, considering its source?
Well, I mean, I knew going into it that she had like written the screenplay, but then it had, you know, been taken off into a totally different direction. And I honestly really want to see her movie.
Right. Did you notice the very quick flash when they're fighting in the bedroom? You can see a copy of Ruby Fruit Jungle on the table.
Yes.
I was like, woo! All right. What about you, Exploded Joe?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I mean, you know, it's kind of a fun throwaway slasher. I agree, though, that it's pretty generic for the first. Even though, you know, it was one of the early slashes, I suppose, you know, it's already formulaic at that point. But yeah, I think the last sort of 15, 20 minutes are pretty entertaining. I thought it was interesting, this whole thing about like the final girl, because there isn't really one particular final girl. You get kind of all three of them. You get Trish, Val, and then her sister.
Right.
But then Trish is like getting stoned and everything and getting drunk in the house as well. So they didn't have aspect.
How'd she get away with living? You'd think that she
would
have her.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I guess she never does get naked, like, you know, well, she gets naked.
Well, she gets naked,
with someone else.
Yeah, because there's only the one girl that has the boyfriend, so that whole kind of sex thing was kind of missing from this movie, which I thought was kind of weird. And I don't know how much of the feminist stuff was lost in translation, but, you know.
I'm guessing a lot of it.
Yeah. But
I mean, there are bits of it here and there.
Right on. Okay, what about you? As an owner of the movie, what did you think? Sarah,
you know, it's just your standard slasher fare. It's something to throw on. Actually, if you want to know anything about the characters, I suggest not throwing it on and then walking away, because, you know, I had to see this three times to figure out who the girls were, but you know, and I'm still a little lost. But no, I mean, it's entertaining. I mean, you don't walk away from it feeling like, oh, I want that hour and a half back.
Yeah, sure. One thing that I thought was kind of weird is that at the very start, I don't know if you remember, after Trish gets naked, you see her like throwing away her dolls and her teddy bears and things. And I wondered what that was supposed to mean. Is she supposed to be like, because there's no line where she's like, I'm not a little girl anymore. I want to grow up.
She's becoming
like that,
a woman.
Yeah.
And like, this is supposed to be a slumber party like they had before, you know, like they used to have these slumber parties. They kind of make mention of that.
And, yeah. Like for old time's sake. Yeah.
Yeah. For old time's sake, they're doing it. But. And then they bring the dolls back.
Isn't it supposed to kind of be like the last slumber party?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, you know, you just can't get the past back or whatever because she wants to go and hump her meathead boyfriend.
Ugh.
Who was totally gross.
Yeah. But he like was smiling in the car after he's she like, agreed to sleep.
I was just
with
like,
him.
I don't need to see your boner smile.
Yeah.
But I think maybe that was supposed to be a play on sort of the loss of innocence. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
But you're right.
The way
that
it's
kind
of a weird non sequitur.
They just throw it away and they never sort of make reference to it again.
Yeah, like they have the doll stuck in the window and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And why would you think about throwing away the stuffed animal and keeping the clown? You get rid of the clown, right?
Sure.
The clown
I'm
knows.
With you there. I'm sure. With you there.
Yeah.
All clowns must go.
Right on. Well, I definitely agree with all you ladies. Like I feel like the last 15 to 20 minutes of it's pretty solid. I would like to see sort of like a truncated version of it where they like slam all the good parts together.
Yeah,
because
sure.
There's a lot of like, I mean, it's not a movie where the dialogue is really essential to the plot or to character development or really anything. It's kind of giving you a break between kills. So I think if they were to just go ahead and like excise about 25, 30 minutes from the movie, it'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I thought the characters were okay though. We don't really learn that much about them, but there's no character that I particularly hated and really wanted to die or anything like that. So that was kind of refreshing.
I don't know. I don't know. The bitchy girl with the boyfriend. I didn't like her.
Right.
And frankly,
she was Diane.
Frankly, if I had a slumber party at my house, I wouldn't be asking somebody's permission to invite somebody.
Right.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That just seemed weird.
Well, they were high school girls, and high school girls are weird. the other thing I was going to talk about is I thought the guys looked pretty good, like high school wise, like they looked high school appropriate.
Mm-hmm,
but
they
the
were
women,
like
already in 1982, they're already got 30-year-old women.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, there's really no difference between them and the coach. Like
sure,
the coach is any older than they do.
Right. She looked like she was ready to hop into the pillow fight.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
I actually thought there was going to be a pillow fight. And
I know. What
I
the
kept
hell?
Waiting.
Yeah. Let me look up her name. Jackie's pajamas for the slumber party. I'm like, oh, come on now.
The
negligee.
Yeah, that's like, I mentioned
what
that
is
at
happening?
The beginning. I was like, what the fuck? Who wears that seriously at a slumber party? No.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like we've dissected Slumber Party Massacre, unless there's anything else you guys wanted to
I just wanted to mention one shot that I really liked. It's similar to the DVD cover where Diane is being killed and she's sort of like sliding down against the wall, and you see a shot between his legs like looking at her, and he's got the drill right there between his legs. That was really cool.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was great. It was like goodbye symbolism.
It was like, how more blatant can you be?
But I think for the subject matter, it's you know, totally appropriate.
Well, and if it had been like a parody send up, it would have worked.
Right.
Really well.
Absolutely. There's got to be like an original version of that screenplay floating around somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Onto internets somewhere. Somewhere. Yeah. I'd love to see it.
How many of you have seen 2 and 3 and the other sort of spin-offs of the series? Because this is the only one I've ever seen.
Yeah. This is the only
I saw 2, God, 10, 15 years ago. Yeah, I have it. I haven't watched it. And the funny thing is, I had actually downloaded 2 and opened it up, and it was The Slumber Party Part 2, which turned out to be a all women's shaving video.
Oh.
I don't even know what to do with that.
This was not what I was looking for.
Yeah, not at all. You're like, I better delete that. Yeah, I'm with you. I haven't seen, I mean, not with the all shaving, you know, but I haven't seen it in like a good 10, 15 years, which is kind of like one of those things where you kind of go like, oh, fuck, I'm old, because I can remember watching it in high school. And like I said, at the time, just being like, oh my God, it's so gory. Ooh. What a wimp. If you guys think I'm a fucking wimp now, can you imagine? What something like Saw or a Serbian film would have done to my fragile 17-year-old mind? Slumber Party Massacre was like totally like, no, I just wanted to end. It's too much.
I want to watch you when you were younger, like junior high and high school, watching something like The Exorcist, though, with like religious overtones.
Oh, dude. When I was still like in the cult.
I want to watch that.
No, I told you the story that like I was sick. I was like 12 and I was sick, and I wanted my mom to rent me movies. And I told her to get me The Exorcist and Omen 1, 2, and 3, and I watched them like all in a row. And then I just like stayed awake for like 4 days. Like every time, like, my bed moved. I know my bed. No, Captain Howdy. No. I don't know what my mom was thinking. She just let me watch anything, man.
Apparently.
Wow. All right.
My parents are that way too, though.
Okay. So I think that's it for Slumber Party Massacre. All right. So now's the part in the show that I always love because it strokes my ever-growing ego. It's time to get the listener feedback. Who wants to go ahead and start this? Should we continue with our alphabetical order?
Alrighty.
All right, here you go.
Okay. So, does it say who it's from?
Yeah. Rach.
Okay, so this is from Rach. I like that. New listener here from the UK.
Oh.
I am loving, yes, in capitals and big hand movements to punctuate how much love I have for the show. I'm only on episode 5 so far. Can you blame me? Like, the last episode was 2 hours long.
Oh.
So give me time to catch up. Hope you keep making the shows so it makes catching up worth it. Aww. I was so happy to hear all the love for Drag Me to Hell. Sam Raimi is my total favorite. Anywho's, horror love from the UK, Rach.
Oh, snap. Oh, we're taking over the UK. That's awesome. Mm. And it's the double whammy. She's from the UK, and her name is Rachel. Hello. She's my listener soulmate.
We need a picture so we can see if she's really like your doppelganger.
That would be pretty cool. Okay, so yeah, Sam Raimi is fucking awesome. Love me some Sam Raimi.
Except he keeps sticking his brother in everything.
Mm. Oh, you don't like Ted?
No.
Oh, I love Ted Raimi. I always like Like, he shows up in a later episode of Supernatural. I was like, I love it!
Dude, Jockster ruined Xena.
Well, you know what? He just
makes this like squinty face that he looks like a ferret with.
Uh-oh.
Whoa!
it's just not attractive.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I associate him with family. I like him. Have you seen Midnight Meat Train?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, then that was probably your favorite part when his eyeballs pop out on the screen. You're like, finally, ferret face is dead. Awesome. So thanks so much, Rachel, for writing in. We agree with you with Sam Raimi. He's freaking awesome. Way to hang in there for the 2-hour shows. They get longer, but this one's going to be a lot shorter.
Two words, Rach. Basket case.
Oh, God. Man, you don't even fucking know about the epicness of that recording.
That was like
the sun rose and set.
Yeah, that was like a whole 24 hours of watching movies and recording.
By the time the credits rolled on the third one, dude, like, man. We look like David Bowie at the end of The Hunger. We're just like crusty and dried up and tired and totally traumatized by the giant dickhead monsters. And
I don't think we look very pretty.
Frank Hinnenlotter, I think, may actually be the Driller killer. He is sick man. He is Russ Thorne.
Yeah.
Okay, so all right, next letter, you want to go for it, Jody?
I shall. Just wanted to say how excited I am that a new Zombie Girls podcast is up. You ladies rode with me to work today. I can't wait to hear more. I love Sarah and her wry delivery, and she loves Return of the Living Dead. Yay. Once again, my wife will have to listen to me yammer on about what creepy things the girls are talking about. Life is even happier now. Vicky. Thank you, Vicky. Aww,
that's awesome.
Thank you, Vicky.
Yes, you're getting some love, Sarah.
Yeah, now, it's always nice to have your voice complimented. My my sister was listening to the show, and so I had to listen to part of it. And I don't tend to listen to our show that much because I don't like hearing my own voice. But I swear to God, I sounded like a Valley girl. Is that how I sound? Because that's depressing as hell.
I don't think so. I think we both have, like, the equivalent of body dysmorphia when it comes to our voices. Because you think you sound like a Valley girl, and I am certain that I sound like a straight-up Trene.
But, like, in my head, my voice is very low. And so having it sound that, like, high. And then I swear, like, I kept going up at the end. You know how that, like, you almost ask a question at the end of each word? I swear
to God. You're
kind of
doing it right now,
actually. Yes!
Yeah.
Everyone's
kind of
like, cricket. No, you don't sound like a Valley girl. You sound very...
Ouch.
Sound good. Don't worry. Okay. All right. So that's awesome. I got to tell you, like, nothing helps a commute like a podcast.
Mm, mm.
True. I use that on BART all the time.
Yeah. Like, I have to say, like, not commuting has really cut in on my podcast time. Like, I'm very behind. And it makes me sad.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too, because I used to drive for about 7.5 hours a day. And,
Wow.
I've got a lot of backup podcasts, but I am current on the Explody Files.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah,
do you figure out which podcasts are your favorites real quick? You know what I mean? Like, I used to listen to like 10 shows. I'm down to like 3 or 4.
Yeah,
and they're the ones I really like. And you know what? They're ones, you know, like I'm definitely not caught up on Explody Files, but I have been listening.
I have Thank you.
Well, because I don't want to listen ahead because I don't want to spoil the episode. So, like, whenever I watch an episode, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for the next Explody.
Yeah, we spoil shit out of loads of stuff.
Which is great. I don't like shows that don't spoil because, like, what's the point? Like,
then you don't really talk
we're
about
We're not talking about it if we're not spoiling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's kind of bad. I feel bad when we spoil things ahead of time that we haven't even talked about. Yeah, I feel bad for that. But
at some point, I'm going to start hearing, sorry, Rachel.
There's no warning. Just as a side note, on our 50th episode, I did an interview with these people that are doing an X-Files musical, and it was wicked, and me and this guy were going, oh, yeah, and you know when that bit happens at the end? And the girl's like, I haven't seen that far yet. And we're going, oh, sorry.
Oh, no. To like season 4 or something like that. So she's like, what? They did?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, I didn't know that happened. We're like, oh, shit. I thought everyone knew that. Oh, well.
Finally, I was having serious withdrawal issues from the podcast, but I'm glad you are back. I totally enjoyed the show and the new talent you have on there as well. Looking forward to listening to your other new members in the upcoming podcasts. I miss you guys badly. Hope the 4th of July weekend, hopefully this 4th of July weekend, if I can manage to find my phone, I will get a drunk dialing call in. Have an awesome holiday, Joeylicious Smyrna?
Yeah, I think Smyrna.
In Delaware.
Excellent.
I think it's Joeylicious is the person and Smyrna, Delaware is the place.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Excellent. Drunk dialing in general, I'm totally for it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not personally doing it, but getting it. I love a drunk dial, whether that's on the show or in life.
Well, now that I have your number, I'll keep that in mind.
Exactly. I expect a lot of drunk dialing to happen.
Oh man, I was at a bar a couple weeks ago that had Jameson on tap.
Oh snap. Jameson and ginger all day. It's on. That is my drink. I'm not even, no, actually it's more Maker's Mark and ginger, but really any whisker and ginger.
Whisker.
Whisker.
I like to think whisker.
Tired. Whisker. Oh my. Okay. I don't know if that's a sign of my exhaustion or my extreme couch. Either way, it's a lose-lose.
I really missed a lot of drinking opportunities when I was in New York. I didn't drink any. I was hoping to try some MGD, and I just didn't get around to it. Unfortunately, I ended up drinking Stella.
Not missing much.
Yeah.
Really.
Oh. Well, if you're here, you got to do it though, right? You know what I mean. It doesn't matter how crappy the alcohol is. If you're there, you drink it. Like when you're in Iceland, you drink the Black Death. Like when you're in the UK, you drink, you know,
everything.
Like everything. Yeah. When you're in Ireland, you drink Guinness. You know, like you just got to.
Yeah.
No, if you really want, the next time you come to America, to have the all-American experience, Joe, you need to drink a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, have so what's your experience? Sadly, they no longer have the grenades that had like the little picture puzzles in the lids. Do you remember that?
Or that's Mickey's.
No. It was
Mickey's is famous for the hand grenade.
Oh no, but they had the puzzle. Okay, maybe it's not the hand grenade, but the little like 11-ounce bottles that have the little picture puzzle in the lid.
Huh.
Do you remember
those?
Never
heard of that.
Well, see, I know that they used to have like the card game you could play when you bought the 12-ounce bottles of Blue Ribbon.
Hold on, I'm Googling this shit.
Are you thinking of Lucky Lager?
Lucky Lager, that's what I'm thinking of. Never mind. Okay.
God, I haven't had Lucky. I swear they haven't made Lucky Lager in about 10 years.
I can remember like playing quarters at parties, and like the drunker I got, the better I was at the puzzles.
Yeah. That's usually how it went.
We'll take you on like a white trash beer tour if you ever come out to California.
Sounds good.
We'll have Sarah come up from Fresno. It'll be awesome.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Or we could take her to Bend, Oregon and do the beer run. There's a what they call the Ale Trail.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A bunch of like microbreweries or something?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Bend, Oregon has like, they have something like 15 microbrews, but they have 9 of them that are on this ale trail, and you go in, you have a beer, you get your card stamped, and I did it last summer, and if you get like 8 of them, you get a patch that says I did the Bend Ale Trail, but if you get all of them, then you get a special bonus, and my bonus is I don't know if you've seen Scylla pints. They're silicone pint glasses.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, so I have and that company's actually based out of Bend also. And so I have 2 of the Scylla pints with the...
2?
Yes.
That sounds like a very efficient way to get anything wasted. And I'm totally down. Let's do it.
That sounds good, yeah. It's so weird because like if any of you guys ever came to London or something, I could be there in like 2 hours. But I get to New York and that's like, I don't know, a day's flight or something for you guys if you ever tried to... come over, right?
Right.
Okay.
So yeah. All right. We have voicemail. On that note, we have voicemails. So all right. So our first voicemail is from Evil Prodigy.
The movie The Mapu Cage is a movie where Carol Kane calls people gum shit. That's about it. So Satan's Orphans.
Okay, so first of all, thanks for calling Evil Prodigy. It's always great to hear from you, local boy. But I didn't understand that voicemail. Did you guys get that at all?
No, I didn't understand. I'm sorry.
Like, I'm assuming he's commenting on something we said, but I don't remember talking about a Carol Kane movie.
Yeah, I don't either.
No. So I'm not. So if you could maybe, I need a follow up call. Maybe, I need like the Rosetta Stone for that voicemail. And here's the thing, I encourage drunk dialing, so I'm not mad at it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
no.
I know I've left a nonsense message before, you know, but I just didn't get it. So again,
we would love to know what you were talking about,
yes,
though.
Yes, so. Elaborate. And our next voicemail is from the OG listener.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, ladies, it's Newty. I just listened to your new show, and it's, let me say, it's nice to hear you guys again. Been way too long. I'd like to say Sarah is a welcome addition to the show. She did a great job and she has a great cadence to her voice, so it made it fun to listen to. Also, I think Splody Joe is going to be pretty awesome too. She does a great job in some of the other shows that she's in, so I can't wait to hear what she adds to the show. Regarding Rick and Rick 2, I haven't really watched any of them because I'm not really a subtitle fan, but after listening to your show, I think I'm going to see. It sounded like they were pretty decent movies, so I want to give it a try. Once again, it was nice to hear you guys. It's been way too long, so it's good that you're back. And even the pop-up at the end there by Ariel was nice to hear her again, so good job. Looking forward to the next show. Love you, girls. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. I got a P.S. It always comes back to Summer's boobs. Bye!
I like how he says my name.
How does he feel, Ariel?
He's something like that.
It's cute. Maybe it's a flower or that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, it's always good to hear from Nudie. And I hope that he did take our advice and actually go back and watch Wreck and Wreck 2. He watches so many horror movies. I'm amazed that he didn't watch that.
I guess it's a subtitle thing, like he said, because otherwise it seems like it would have caught his eye at some point.
Yep, yep.
And we are really sorry, because in this episode, there is no summer boob talk.
There isn't. Well, there is now.
I guess that's true.
It's unavoidable. For us. It's like death, taxes, summers to taste. Like, you cannot... But yeah,
one of these days you're just gonna have to post a picture of them.
Well, I mean,
no, I'm not talking. I'm not fully clothed, of course. Just, you know, like a side profile or something. It's just,
have you seen her birthday picture? Look at her birthday picture.
There is some cleavage there.
Yeah, the cleave is in full effect. That's why she let me use that picture. She's like, oh, I like that one. I was like, I wonder why. But hey, you know what? Go on with your bad self.
Yep.
But okay, let's see. What else did he talk about? Oh, lots of love for everybody.
I know.
Well, except for me, but that's okay.
Voice.
Yeah, you're getting all kinds of love. Now, granted, the next episode where Explodey is on is not going up until today. So I'm sure we'll get lots of feedback on that on the next one. But so far, they've only heard the one where Sarah joined us. So that's awesome get her, you know, get some love. But we got some like prelude or prelude. That's before, right? Prelude love for Explodey. Now, he listens to, I mean, he's like a Splattercast listener. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Is he also an Explodey Files listener?
That doesn't sound like it, because he said whatever other show I'm in. So I don't think he knows.
Ooh, busted.
I did get a very nice message on Twitter from Nudie to say he was looking forward to listening to that, so maybe he does.
Aww. Yeah, he's a doll. Love us some Nudie. Yeah. Love you too. All right, so that's basically it for listener feedback. Then I guess we can move on to our Netflix streaming pick. All right, so I picked a horror movie this time, since I got so much hard time with my golden child suggestion, which I stand by, because the movie is good.
I didn't watch Golden Child, but I did watch Ghostbusters 2. And yeah, that was just don't.
Yeah. Viggo. I do like the Viggo guy. He was funny. But it just doesn't feel like a Ghostbusters movie to me. You know what I
guess
mean?
I've only seen the first one recently.
Which is so much better. It's so good.
Yeah, like, I was surprised at how well it held up, because so I hadn't seen it since I was a kid.
Yeah. But you should seriously go back and watch. I was hoping somebody would go back and watch Golden Child so that they were able to, like, you know.
Vindicate
my selection.
I was going to, but Crush Groove and Beat Street were actually going off instant, so I watched those instead.
All right. Well, I look forward to two episodes later, Vindication, as your assignment. Everybody's gonna jump on, I know, once you revisit right. It. Okay, so this time, this is definitely more of a straightforward horror film. It's one that does not get a lot of love, and so I kind of went into it with really, really low expectations and ended up being pleasantly surprised. It's the 2009 film The New Daughter. Which, you know, normally I avoid Kevin Costner movies pretty like kind of like on principle. Because, you know, when I lived in the trailer and we had trailer vision, like on repeat, it was Shawshank Redemption, GoldenEye, and The Postman. So I can't fucking times.
The Postman is
I had The Postman like playing in the background, or I've watched that damn movie. So I'm kind of like.
Kevin Costner was in Shawshank Redemption?
No, I'm talking about those are the three movies that were always on.
Oh, gotcha.
So like, I've seen them all, like within an inch of their lives. You know what I mean? Like I have seen those movies.
Yes.
So anyway, so I kind of am normally anti Kevin Costner, but I don't know. There was just something about, I don't know why, just like it piqued my interest, I guess. And I just put it on and I was like, I'll watch a few minutes of this to see how much it sucks. And I was laying down to go to bed, and 2 hours later, I was glued to the TV still. So I actually ended up really liking it. So here is the description from Netflix. Luis Verdejo, I'm such a failure at Spanish names, directs a supernatural thriller centered on John James, who moves into the country to get a new start, only to be confronted by a new nightmare when his daughter Luisa begins acting stranger by the minute. With unsettling events besetting the South Carolina home, John begins to believe that something on the edge of the forest might nearby may have the answer that he needs. Okay, so just things of note. First of all, the girl in this, the main character Luisa, is played by the little girl who was in Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, that's okay.
Cool.
Yeah, and she's really good in this, actually. So basically, that's not the best description, but okay. So like, Kevin Costner, his wife has left him, and now he's got these kids, and he doesn't know what the fuck to do with them. He doesn't know how to raise them. The whole movie is him struggling with the fact that he doesn't think that he is being, doing a good job raising the kids. He thinks he's failing as a father, and his daughter starts acting really strangely, and he's like, he thinks it must just be hormones, and he's not connecting her with her the way that she should be, but really there's more going on. Near the house, there's this weird mound. It's like an ancient mound, and she right away gets drawn to it. And every night, night after night, she keeps going back there and laying on it. And she becomes more and more, her behavior becomes more and more bizarre. And she starts becoming like kind of violent. And there's a little brother. And then there's also a teacher who's kind of interested in the dad, but then also, trying to be there for the kids. It's very much a slow burn. Like you kind of have to, it's very slowly paced, and I actually kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be in the right mood for that. And it feels very much like a psychological thriller up until the final act when it becomes horror. And it's one of those things that while it's happening, it's not that horrifying, but when you go back and revisit some of the earlier scenes, it actually becomes a little bit more shocking and a little bit more disturbing.
Like once you think about it after it's over?
Right. After you see it, I'll have the conversation with you.
Gotcha.
I don't want
to.
You kind of think you know what's happening with the daughter. Like, oh, this is what's happening. But really, I was surprised by what. I mean, like, you know that the mound is evil and it's affecting her. But the way that it's actually physically affecting her is different than what you think. So I would definitely give this a recommendation. If you're in the mood for a slow burn, and can stomach Kevin Costner, which is a prerequisite because this is his movie, then I definitely recommend checking out The New Daughter. I don't think it got a fair shake. Okay. So that's cool. It for the next streaming. I guess that's it. We're so efficient tonight.
I know.
I can't even believe it.
This is the only podcast where over 2 hours is still efficient.
All right. Well, then I say we wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, ladies, for joining me. I had a really good time chopping it up with you about.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, thank you for having us again.
Sarah, thank you. Joe, thank you for Ariel. I had a blast. You guys
it was fun.
Awesome.
Me too.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Ah, yes, let me turn the volume down.
Oh, brilliant.
We're so professional here at Zombie Girls. Yeah. You must be really impressed.
Uh-huh.
Trying to remember how to do it. Okay, add to group? No.
There should be a button that says add people, I think.
To the call itself. Let me look in the call itself. Maybe that's what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
Start file. I've done this before. I just, because we use Skype at work all the time, but I always forget.
This is great podcasting.
Thank God it's not live, right?
Right. Thank God for Audacity.
Can't they just make this like dummy friendly? I swear. Add to conference. I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's well right, Skip. I just made Skype my bitch. Right. Fair enough. This is like so early for me. 1 o'clock, I'm usually just rolling out of bed.
So you make it sound like you're lazy, but that's because you've been working freaking all
right.
night.
Well, I seriously like keep vampire hours with my new job. So when I had to roll out of bed at 10:30 today, I thought I was going to die. I really did. Like, the sun was like coming through the blinds. I was like,
You need to get Alaska.
Seriously. I do. Like, I need to be more in a cave, though.
Rachel, I totally understand. I used to work either 10 to 6 or midnight to 8 a.m. So I understand when you have to peel yourself out of bed at some ungodly daytime hour. Joe, promise me you won't do like my buddy Vincent did.
What's that?
He boarded a plane in London because he lives somewhere in England. He's always moving around.
Right.
But he flew from London to New York, was going to fly, had a plane change, was going to come from New York to San Francisco when somebody told him about a strip club that has $2 Tuesdays in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, my God.
Changed his flight to Phoenix, went to Phoenix, spent all day at the strip club, didn't have enough money to get to San Francisco. He took a Greyhound, which stopped in Vegas, spent 2 days in Vegas, and then took a Greyhound into Monterey, where I was living at the time.
Mm-hmm. Of Monterey.
Yeah, so we're talking like 6 days of travel, and he still hadn't showered.
Oh, wow.
So and he had like strip club booty sweat all over him.
You imagine how much glitter.
My ex was a topless dancer. I know about the glitter. We were broken up about a year and a half before I finally got it all out of my clothes.
Oh, no. That's awesome. And horrible.
Right, oh, I got glitter in my eye one time, and it actually like cut my eyelid.
Oh, wow!
I got it from a lap dance.
That must have been a very thorough lap dance. That is someone earning their dollar bill. Yeah. Peace out.